This is a production of Cornell University.
The time is now 4:45, and I'm calling this student assembly meeting to order. Chelsea, please call the roll.
He'll be late, I guess.
What is this?
I can't hear.
Yeah, I can't hear.
Sorry. Were you late? He's late.
I think it's turned down a little bit.
He is late.
Late.
Here.
Yep.
This is happening. This meeting.
Adam.
Yeah. Thanks, Chelsea. We are now going to move on to approval of the November 1st, 2012 minutes. There's been a motion to approve.
Second.
It's been seconded. Is there any objections or amendments to the minutes?
Oh, I'm sorry. One. The only one would be Matt Carcello's name. This is an A, not an O at the end. Such a... Yeah. And I think he's going to look at it.
Any dissent to that change? Seeing none, going to entertain any motions to approve again.
Motion to approve.
Okay. Any dissent? All right. Seeing none, moving on to announcements and reports, because there's no one in the audience who would speak during open microphone, unless Amy or Ari, you'd like to say anything.
Amy,
does it
have an environmental announcement?
Sorry, guys.
Moving on to announcements and reports. The first is from Representative Lovely. Where is he? Oh, there he is. So lovely. That's awesome. Thanks. Next is a CUPD update from Rep. Scalfo.
Hi, everybody. This past Monday, I had a really awesome meeting with the Chiefs owner. Lasted almost 2.5 hours. God bless. It's great. She brought this up last week at the university assembly, a cell phone app called Brave Guardian. I don't know if anybody is familiar with it, but it's essentially a police officer in your pocket. Many campuses use it, and we're looking at that right now. Our main conversation was about furthering a brand of safety culture here at Cornell, just so that it's a united message that comes from a united trade is what we want to do, but not so that they know growth. We try to get faculty involved with major lectures. So at the beginning of class, they would give a weekly safety message, whether it is regarding pedestrian safety, bike safety, vehicle safety, late night safety, alcohol. You can see that there's enough safety updates that we can make a weekly safety update. And then we also discuss our weekly blue email that she's been sending out every Friday night. And we're not sure how much longer those are going to go on, but we hope that it's going to continue forever. All right. And then, so if you have any questions about specific follow-up, just email that me, but I'll be following up with her and the CJC.
And for everyone who doesn't know, the CJC is the Codes and Judicial Committee. They have oversight over the campus code conduct, right?
Pretty much all judicial.
Anything judicial on campus, yeah. And also, I'd just like to remind everyone that try to write blog posts about these issues. There's going to be, you know, you guys have seen the new PR plan that's going to go into effect, I think, within the next day or two. And so there'll be a lot more traffic to the website. You know, all these initiatives like Garrison's, like your safety update, are great and could be turned into blog posts. Next is a wingman announcement. Rep. Toronas. Thanks. Next is a diversity announcement.
Hello. Hello there. Okay, so three things. First one is the diversity committee, or the first diversity affairs coalition is working to be staffed. The deadline for that is November 16th. Emails have been sent out to all the college associates again, and I've already heard back from engineering, the hotel school, AAP, and a couple others that I can't remember right now. But I've got something like that, and we just already sit on that, and I'll bring that to our agenda. For that information. Diversity community meeting is going to be held on November 15th, which is Thursday, 8:30 in the morning, lower than commercial soccer. And basically, we're actually going to have a facilitator in there for this meeting. Questions have already been sent out to all the participants. They're actually going to kind of going to be a series of difficult discussions to kind of figure out what the actual mission for the group is at this point in time, because there seems to be some confusion and all that back there. But if you have any items that you'd like brought up there, kindly email them to me, so I'll know. I'm bringing them up there. And then finally, soonish, the college meeting for all the college representatives. We are going to, Chelsea is actually helping conduct some very, very thorough research that we're doing right now in terms of looking at the possibility of the diversity or social justice requirement university-wide. So right now we're currently doing a survey of what systems are already in place when it comes to making curriculum changes at all of the colleges and schools, respectively. So Chelsea's actually heading that up. She's so involved. And we want the meetings to come together so we can kind of get all of you guys on the same page about what's going on in your college and respectively, and how you can be involved and help out with that particular college. So let us know and look out for that email in the future.
Thanks. Next is a Director of Elections an Athletics Outreach Announcement by DOE Weinberg.
Hey guys, how you doing? So I have a pleasure to meet with Jeff Hall and Pat Pencil from the Athletics Department this past Monday. They're in charge of all marketing and efforts for the Athletics Department. And they were very much interested in what needs to be assimilated to increase their reach and having your representative contribute to represent a sporting event. They're very interested in broadening the traditional crowds and the campus to university-wide experience. To that effect, the team working for me now, I'll be at the meeting next Thursday. reaching their email outreach, and reconstituting how they support families to be more inclusive and encompassing and making athletic progress for us here. So they're very receptive to broadening the reach. They're really curious to take advantage of all the resources you know about, and perhaps most importantly, they do want to engage your community. So think about in advance how you want to interact with them. They will be here on Thursday, and they are very much looking forward to increasing our partnership.
Thank you. Next is an Appropriations Committee announcement. VP Desai.
It's just a normal announcement about the Appropriations Committee that we're seeing next week. So next week will be Globe Media and North Campus Community Program in Campbell. So if you're interested in either of those, please let me know. Maybe we'll be at 453 Staten or at 515 PM.
Next is a committee, well, a PR strategy report, but VP Breeden is not here. Next is a committees and mentorship report, and also a report from Dean of the Faculty meeting.
All right, so I have a lot to talk about, so bear with me. The first thing I'm going to go over is the Student Assembly Mentoring Handbook. That should be mailed out to you guys if you guys want to. I just won't be offended if you pull up your computer and look at it. I'm just going to give a brief summary of it. So this is just to make the mentoring program more structured, because I know that it's been very effective for some and not as effective as it could be for others. So it's just giving more guidelines and everything. And so the first part is about the purpose of the program. And it's just talking about why it was originally created, to ensure that engaged members and that coming into the FA, people had someone to go to with questions. And then it goes over the mentor and mentee assignments and how that is decided and who is qualified to be a mentor. And for that, it's making all new members be mentees, and then all members that have served on the FA previously but are a junior or senior, the option to participate, and I understand that it may not be as effective for them or beneficial for them. So that's that. And then the frequency of the meetings is kind of making the meetings more structured. So the first meeting of the they have to meet in the beginning, middle, and end of each semester. The first meeting of the year should be an introduction and a focus on what the general issues the mentee wants to work on throughout the year and the goals they have and any questions, like initial questions they have. And then the first meeting of the second semester should focus on the progress of the initial goals, the overall goals for the entire year, and the general issues the mentee expressed that they're working on. And then the last meeting of the year should focus on reviewing the work of the mentee during the year, and if they are continuing to serve on the FA, how they could improve like working on these initiatives in the future. And then the final meeting should also include the mentor getting some feedback on the mentor program as well as internal operations of the FA. And then the other formal meetings throughout the year should be general check-ins and goals and initiatives. And why these are formal meetings is because I'll just need a Google Doc for these, or Google Form for these meetings that I will have you guys fill out after you meet with your mentee, just so I have a little bit of a knowledge of how it went and so on and so forth, and how the program's going. And then there's also kind of an expectation that there's also a formal meeting throughout the year in which you just can talk about like whatever you want, whether it be over lunch, coffee. I know John's been meeting weekly or on a very regular basis with his mentees, and that has been very beneficial. And then going along with this, I don't know if this is emailed out, but if anyone that is currently a mentor or a mentee and wishes to no longer participate in the program because they've either served on the FA before and just aren't a junior or senior, or because they're a mentor and don't think that they can fulfill the requirements of this program, please let me know. And John, Adam, and I will go over the assignments and make adjustments as needed. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, changes you want to make to that, please feel free to email me. The next thing is a committee chair handbook update. I updated this that was done at the beginning of the year just so that it included information about the staffing committee, which is a resolution currently on new business for today. So I guess whenever I talk about the new business, that resolution, I'll kind of go back to the committee chair handbook and talk about how the staffing committee applies to the committee chair's responsibilities. So that's that, and then I'll go back to that, and then of course if you have any questions, comments, or concerns on that, feel free to email me with that. And then as far as the faculty, I met the Dean of Faculty this week, and we talked about two things mainly, and that was the initiative that the Provost had and kind of spoke to us a little bit about, and that was internationalization. And there's a report on internationalization from a bunch of faculty members, including the Provost. And specifically one thing in there is talking about like language requirements and how that might be broadened for all the schools. And then the other thing we talked about, I brought up, was his thoughts on a diversity requirement for every college, and he said that that has to go through each individual college, but they are looking at it, and they are going to look at different options for it, whether it be a class or be done through the reading, the orientation book reading, or through a training program that they use for HR and employees.
Thank you very much. And I can't remember if I mentioned this or not, but Melissa's also going to be spearheading the internal like documentation of different like standard operating procedures for the student assembly. So these reports are sort of all part of that in the IOPS end of it all. A quick Cougars Watchers announcement, similar to Narda's announcement, Cougars Watchers is also accepting applications now. So I encourage everyone to apply, even if you're just going to spend like one or two nights next semester being a Cougar Watcher. You can make, you know, $40 to $50 for the night, and you'd be going to a party. And you'd be helping the student body and improving the safety. And also, Cougars Watchers filed for incorporation with the state of New York this week, which is really exciting news. It's going to be an independent corporation, so that's very exciting. And that initiative is moving forward, and there's a great executive board. John and I can kind of like step back a little more right now and just sort of watch it grow. So it's exciting. And then a PR strategy report.
Hey guys, so for what was spent about 3 years ago, the final draft of the PR strategy report. So what was emailed to you guys as a final draft, PDF form, and not you know, we reviewed the PDF form, and we're meeting here at the meeting again next Wednesday. And, you know, I think one of the major takeaways is that, you know, this report, I think it mostly serves as like a documentation and guidelines on how we should proceed in terms of the initiative and the PR strategy. But moreover, I think it's all about success and the actionable things that we're about to be going forward. It's not necessarily what we're going to be in the paper, but moreover, it's more about like what we actually do to create a quality of life for the students and how we can engage students that are, you know, really successful and don't know what to say about it. So I really thank you guys so much for all the feedback and applications. A really great thing. Hopefully we can really set the precedent this year for how we have it done.
Perhaps we're going to look up a bit.
Sure.
Great. So yesterday I was with the council meeting, and we talked about a lot of the initiatives that SA is spearheading this year, especially with SAW and the student safety, diversity and inclusion. If you really were interested in diversity and inclusion, we're possibly considering working with ILR and partnering and doing that movement as well. So so we're going to get that done. So hopefully we'll have an update with you in the coming weeks. We're patient with our school and easily get things right.
Thank you. And last, do you want to make an outreach update? Thanks.
Well, October, as well, did very, very well on the outreach events for the most part, except for maybe two or three people, as well as fulfilled their outreach requirements, so congratulations. One quick thing about outreach events, though they're not everything that we've listed on the outreach calendar, please do send the events that you did attend, because we just want to create a list of events that SA members are going to, because the point of them is not to just go to events that I need follow-up that qualify for SA outreach events, but it's really just for you guys to get at it and learn more about issues that are affecting various communities. Speaking of which, there is an outreach event tonight, if that's an healthy relationship, maybe if you put together just to get a jump start in your
I'll be going to that. It looks really cool. There's also going to be fresh baklava, I was told. Next is business. We're moving on to business of the day. An appropriations committee report. VP Desai.
Thanks, President Gillen. The first group that we saw this week in Appropriations Committee was JMU, the LGBTQ Student Union. A lot of you guys hopefully remember them. They've been here the last couple weeks presenting on a couple resolutions. So overall, the OPC Appropriations Committee looked very favorably upon JMU's operations, its organization, its leadership, and its professionalism in submitting its budget. We felt that they were very efficient in how they made decisions and how they went about rationalizing those. A couple of the comments that we had for them were much more minute. We felt that, you know, half of what Haven does is something that they call a social support group component, and committee members felt that Haven should make a larger push to articulate those resources earlier on to people in their Cornell careers, specifically the freshmen during orientation week. Another issue that came up surrounded Filthy Gorgeous. So there had been a desire to move Filthy Gorgeous, which is Haven's large late night programming event every year, to Barton Hall. There were some hesitations around that on the staff and administration side because of potential safety issues. So, you know, the student assembly the appropriations committee voiced their support for that move and vowed to play a role in helping facilitate that however we can. Additionally, we members of the committee voiced support for Haven expanding its co-sponsorship budget because we felt that allows them to reach communities that were not stereotypically included in, you know, what people would consider to be the LGBTQ community, and that by expanding co-sponsorships, they were allowing themselves to be more inclusive of the entire Cornell community, not just students who identified or self-identified as LGBTQ. But overall, we very strongly supported what Haven is doing and voted that they are currently at a healthy level of funding.
Where are the supports that VP decides to go on there?
I'm going to defer to EVP Mueller, who does the agenda.
Yeah, so as you can tell from the agenda site, we have basically almost entirely their business, and I was really afraid that we were going to run out of something to do today, so I wanted to make sure to include everything, but it costs us a lot of money to print pages, and so that's why Amy Edwards, does a great job every week putting together the agenda. She asked everyone to please be sure to look at the reports, including the two handbooks that VP Chavez put together and the PR report that VP Breeden worked on. They are in your inbox, so everybody has access to them. If you guys all have questions, please refer to those in your inboxes and then refer the questions to VP Desai. Thanks.
I saw one of
those. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. As VP Fine, I smile on saving money on printing and also on President Gillen creating jobs and pay his workers. Cool. So the second group that the Appropriations Committee saw this week was class council. The Appropriations Committee voiced its opinion that class council filled a very necessary role on campus and that it was the only Byline-funded organization who had as a core mission unifying the individual classes at Cornell, which we felt was very important, and we felt that that goal or mission to kind of be at the center of their target of funding. That being said, we did have a number of operational recommendations for them. The first was developing an internal funding distribution system that would allow them to focus money on both the freshman and the senior classes. This was previously stipulated in Appendix B, and that stipulation was removed during the 2012 Byline funding cycle, with the assumption that they would be able to self-allocate. The committee decided this year that while we don't even mandate what that allocation is, they should internally come up with those standards on their own, and the Appropriations Committee should be able to approve or disapprove them. Additionally, as I mentioned earlier, Appropriations Committee felt that, members of the Appropriations Committee felt that their funding could be more targeted towards the actual mission of unifying the class, so rather than go with the historic practices of giveaways and barbecues, they could do things that would actually bring together the classes more. One example is that during homecoming, for example, if you wore a Cornell t-shirt on a certain day and you walked into CTV, you got a free bagel. Something like maybe like wearing a 2013 t-shirt and like they paid for bagels at CTV one day for people who wore like the class t-shirt or whatever it may be. Things like that, either around just the normal campus or sporting events, or anything else that would help actually bring the class together, was important. And finally, just in terms of the efficiency of current spending, changing their feedback system, increasing publicity to expand both the scope and breadth of the students that currently attend those events, and in general, making it so that their events are more inclusive to the Cornell community as a whole, which is currently limited, and your expenditures are limited to giveaways and smaller events such as those. Finally, the last recommendation that the committee made was for Class Gambling to alter its membership requirement. They changed their policy this year so that you can only apply to be on class councils if you attend 3 meetings in the spring semester. We thought that this wasn't being inclusive and seeing as how it should be an opportunity that every member of the class should have as an option to pursue. We felt like that requirement should be less than it should be returned to where you need to you can attend 3 meetings either in the fall or spring. Sorry, that's the new rule is you have to attend 3 meetings in the fall, so if you decide to run in the spring, you can't run until the next year. My apologies. So overall, the committee felt that they filled a very important void on campus, but due to the current lack of efficiency and the lack of tie-in between how they're spending money and what their goal is as an organization, the Appropriations Committee voted that under their current structure and operations, they did not need the full level of funding that they were currently receiving. So.
Thank you. We have a couple questions. The first is from Rep. Brazier.
Hi. I have one quick question about the membership recommendation. Last year, I came to the community to be changed to approve the resolution passed. I feel like the financial appropriation might have said that you should be helpful to have a problem.
Yeah, right. Just one over there.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I do agree that it's not good for us to be inconsistent from year to year, and I think that, like, this issue has come up with the SAC in the past as well. That being said, past assemblies have no jurisdiction over the opinion or viewpoints of current assemblies in the same way that we don't have jurisdiction over future assemblies for now. So all we can really do is share the sentiments of the committee at the current time and, you know, say that if this were the committee that were giving you funding, this is what we would say. I think the assumption there is that because this is a formal recommendation from the Appropriations Committee, future Appropriations Committees during a violent funding cycle would be hard pressed to penalize them for following an explicit written recommendation of the Student Assembly, as opposed to us just like approving a rule that they brought forward to us.
Next is Rep. Pritchett.
My question is about the structure of four different class councils come to the Appropriations Committee and it's bylines funded and they divide
it into. So the way it worked in the 2010 byline funding cycle was we stipulated an appendix B out of the $3 that class councils got. 75 cents or 60 cents went to this class, 50 cents went to this class, 45 cents went to this class, et cetera, et cetera. And that was almost exclusively done on the hierarchy of freshmen and seniors getting the most money and sophomores and juniors getting one tier below. We removed that appendix B stipulation in 2012 under the premise that they would kind of develop something internally. So now we're just reiterating that desire for them to develop something internally. But we don't allocate individually to the class anymore. We give one lump sum to all the class counselors.
Great. Any other questions? Okay. So, did you have? No? Okay, so we're going to move on. Thank you, VP Desai. We're going to move on to Resolution 17, reforming JAMIC as the Essay Committee for Inclusion and Diversity Initiatives, the CD.
Later, when I was changing from new business to business of the day, but it came up as like a
what?
And it came up as like John Lee was like
guys have 2 minutes.
All right, so we hope that everyone's had an adequate time to deal for this resolution. The report has been a process and gone on since the last
could you just repeat that once more, a little louder?
The CD will be a collective voice of diversity of cultures, ethnicities, gender identities, lifestyles, races, religions, and sexual orientations, and
So you're just striking the word genders?
Yes.
Okay. What? Oh, no, okay. It's okay. Is there any dissent to that? I mean, it's a friendly... Oh, okay. Is that it? Okay. Cool. Okay. So we are going to open up the speakers list. First is Enrico. It's actually kind of time, unless... Okay.
Yes, and then your second question is about the international student support specifically. The point was also about why not including having religious organizations in the United. I think when we have a line here in the resolution that says, we'll actively seek out religious students from all major languages. That basically serves that we're going to go and actively look out with that. I don't think we are going to make it, but we just don't have a formal position that has to be as it would be umbrella or IC handling, et cetera. But we will reach out to international support and religious organizations that are in the nature of their voices that are committed.
Next is VP Smith.
Thank you. know, I think it's September. I'm happy to see this committee come back for different grants. And it's the same thing I said before, just be cognizant of your goals. And that in addition to goals and initiatives. So going forward, I really hope that the structure is sustainable, maintains itself, and membership is constant and not just being a control at this point in time. That would encourage everybody else here, the humility of the teachers to join the community teachers if they are soon to be informed about how to move forward, what the community is doing, and how they can be involved in their office going forward.
Next is Rep. Scalfo.
Kind of piggybacking on what it was Reverend Vice President, but more related to the last portion of change. I said the committee will have a strict attendance policy. What does that mean? I'm just trying to understand. How are you going to kick people off if they're not doing a good job? How are we going to ensure that? I just don't see the word strict attendance policy meaning anything than the word attendance policy or just leaving it out. It doesn't clarify anything.
I think the intent on our behalf is to not micromanage the policy leaders and how to keep people accountable and the stuff that's shared and their representatives on the committee. I think it's just the issue to share the discrepancy that that ruling enforces however they want. While at the same time, giving them the power to have that as an enforceable aspect of the operations of the committee. I also think that in terms of the committee, appropriating to be a very strict attendance policy that I enforce, but it's not like we don't exactly say, if you miss 2.5 meetings and you're late to another 3.5, then you get kicked off the committee. I think it's just we wanted to have it in writing that attendance was a requirement to maintain that on the committee, and the chair has the power to interpret that as a wish.
Next.
I propose an amendment that just says the chair will have the authority to interpret this strict attendance policy.
I really love that necessary
to kind of. So there's a motion on the floor to amend that the committee will have a strict attendance policy as interpreted by the chair. Is that what it was?
That's perfect.
As interpreted by the chair. We are going to... Thank you.
Second.
It's been seconded. We're going to open up discussion on this specific amendment versus Rep. Kerr. Actually, first is VP Lukashevich, who was trying to speak earlier.
Just to clarify, every committee member has the same attendance policy that we use for SA members at SA meetings, and it's up to the chair of that committee to decide what they qualify for an excused absence, for an unexcused absence, and then to report that back to me if they have any issues with attendance. So just to clarify, that already is part of every single committee, and having a stricter outline in here isn't really necessary because they already have that authority.
So then should it be included in here at all?
I mean, it doesn't really matter. Outlining in here allows the members to know that they do have it. It has more power in the specific part, but it's completely up to the chairs.
Do you withdraw your face on that? Okay. Rep. Kerr.
Call a question.
There's been a motion to vote. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Okay, if you're in favor of this amendment, the amendment is the committee will have a strict attendance policy as interpreted by the chair. Please raise your placards if you're in favor. If you're not in favor of the amendment, please raise your placard. Any abstentions?
By a vote of 1-21-2, the motion fails. We're going back into debate about the original resolution. Rep. Iwaoka. Thanks. Next is Rep. Block. Okay. The motion was withdrawn. There's a motion on the floor to amend. What is the amendment? So take out, it is recommended that. Is there any opposition to that amendment? So by unanimous consent, that motion passes. Yes. So you're not dissenting?
I'm dissenting.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. I know, but that you, it just made it seem like you were dissenting to the unanimous okay. So I didn't even hear the motion on the floor to vote yet. So were you?
And then he withdrew it. He withdrew it.
It was withdrawn.
What? I was just hearing that.
Okay. Okay. No, he withdrew it. There is. Okay, you are actually next on the speakers list. So, would you like to speak? Is there any opposition to changing O5 to author? Seeing none, by unanimous consent, that passes. So that's the. There's been a motion to strike. Oh, fight. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, it's stricken. There's been a motion to vote on the resolution, and it's been seconded. We're going to roll call. Oh, is there any dissent? What? So you dissent? Okay. Yeah, what's your point of information? Guys, can everyone please have a little decorum in here? It's really disrespectful to the other SA members that you're talking over them. Yes. Yep. Do you withdraw your dissent now? Okay. There's a motion to vote. It was seconded. There's no dissent. So we're going to roll call on seceding.
Yes.
Marshall?
Yes.
Mueller?
Yes.
Pritchett?
Yes.
Joko?
Stay.
Smith?
I don't know.
Yes. Ashenko? Yes.
That offered one with one.
By vote of 23 to 0 to 1, resolution 17 passes. Next on the agenda, we are moving into new business. And just keep in mind, everyone, quiet everyone. Just keep in mind, there's a lot on here. So I'm going to be a little strict with time and speakers lists because we do only have 3 meetings left in the semester. So if you do have questions and you don't have the opportunity to ask them today, definitely ask the sponsors of these resolutions over the next week or two. Okay. So first is Resolution 21, adoption of a diversity plan.
Okay. So, we're back. Remember to tell the Supreme Court of the that was attached to something that we're adopting with the mayor of the city that wants to be completed by the end of the year. Furthermore, the commission is doing that was just shared with the group that are using there. So, I guess I'll briefly walk through the plan when we have a communication with the issues that are on it. But just to help you out. The first thing I did was kind of outline three of the goals. We are internal goals, goals that are going to the college, or to the college school, and the Citizen University of Fair Coalition, and also broader university goals. So you can kind of know and answer very specific questions about those and how to finish. And then the final part is essentially for the next part of the is I the general theme that is going around
First on the speaker's list is Rhett Marshall.
Thank you. their way of doing it. Additionally, we really have to look at practical application of these, because as I keep saying, the way CAL, the requirement now is quite different than what people in the architecture school like to do, because we need practical, we need to understand how it's going to affect us in our career. So that's what really is going to take time to do some thorough research on that.
I'm going to extend your time.
Well, I think it really is a broad suggestion.
Recommend you continuing the conversation outside of the room, and everyone for that matter. Next is Rep. Batista.
Thank you. This is for Ms. Smith.
Next is Rep. Lovely.
Thank you. after the
patient is saying that you're going to find a new professor, do you believe that you can go to make that case to other colleges and other people get to the
Yes, so as I said,
Thankfully, Ulysses will be here another year. Yeah. Rep. Harris. Thank you very much, Ulysses. It's we're moving on, so it will be at next week's meeting. Anyway, thank you very much, Ulysses. Guys, read through this over the next week and ask him questions. Seriously. Next on the agenda is Resolution 22, urging mandatory sexual assault and rape education during orientation.
But I guess what we're really trying to look at is how can we educate people about sexual assault.
Okay. First on the speakers list is Rep. Batista.
Thank you guys for the resolution. As a person, I know that this is a very interesting bill now for Justice Senate. What groups do you specifically plan to reach out to if anything is going to be effective and reach freshmen?
Next is VP Luke Shevitz.
Hey guys, totally as part of the thing I think this should be part of new member or new student orientation. My question is, have you guys reached out to the orientation steering committee and the people in charge of that, and what are their thoughts on it, and how do they see this moving forward? And then my other question is, have you thought about this being part of something larger in terms of making new student orientation program a little bit more educational on what students should learn before they come into Cornell, including not only the sexual assault part, but then also like in terms of like Good Samaritan law or other things that would be very useful for students to learn before they actually start their academic year.
So yeah, the deadline for programs to be put into place is so April's our hard deadline for meeting that programs ready to go to support the administration and work with them for so many weeks. Basically, what we're doing is we support the student aspect. They recognize that it's important that we need to do, especially in the light of the other academics. The problem that we kind of have is that there are a lot of people that come in here and send it to be imagine to be 30 minutes of so right now, what a lot of students are trying to work on that is what we actually want to teach people, not to be so it's something that's kind of been on the back for the university for a couple of years, and it's something that they've thought about doing, but, you know, what we really want to do is to do something pushed out and keep the final point of
the issue and
can't get it. So we move forward with this.
Thanks. Next is... Okay.
Okay, so my ideal role is that we're recommending a goal that we don't need to reach. I think this is something that, especially if we're in a school role, a nice goal that is a key collaboration course, like a lot of meetings every week. It depends on the theme, but if it's a theme, it's not about the sexual law, we talk about the same conversation about sexual law. You also need to be talking about diversity, inclusiveness, about
next is Rep. Chen.
I think
threat the earth. Next is Rep. Kerr. They'll take that as a point of information. OSC is under New Student Programs, which is in Medina Student's office. Right, Dina? Yeah, so we do technically. And then, I don't know about the second question about legislation versus recommendation. I believe this is a fine form of resolution for it. Next is, Rep. Pritchett. Next is Brett Marshall. Thank you. Next, and the last in the speaker's list is Rep. Bonatti. By the way, we're only doing questions today. Great, thank you very much. If no one is opposed to it, I'm actually going to rearrange the agenda a little bit, and we're going to go to resolution suspend rules and move the agenda around so that we can do resolutions 25 and 26 today. So first we're going to go to 25 and then 26. Is there any dissent to that? The only reason for that is twofold. One, AIDS Awareness Week is in 2 weeks, so that's time sensitive, so we just want to make sure we look at it today. And two, the elections rules have to be passed by the end of the semester, so I want to make sure that everyone has enough time to like read over them. What? Yeah. So, seeing no dissent, we're going to move into Resolution 25.
Working on the mental health to do sort of a TED talk around HIV and AIDS.
Great. First on the speaker's list is VP Smith. Great. Next is Brett Bracey. I'm going to say that that's a friendly amendment. So, thank you. It's not even going to be an amendment or whatever. Changed. Thank you, though. And thank you. Next is Rep Block. And he's the last speaker on the speaker's list.
We did a lot of things that are in progress right now. So, once again, thank you.
Thank you very much, guys. And this will come up next week. Next is Resolution 26, approval of the Spring 2013 elections rules. And just as DOE Weinberg is walking up, I would just like to have a round of applause for him. Because this is the fourth DOE that I know, and he's by far the most prepared DOE
what?
That there has been probably ever. Ready? I mean, so he's really killing it, and let's hear his presentation.
Thank you, and thank you all for your great process. So, as you mentioned, the student assembly adopts election rules every year. The government prompts us, by the way, you all get people here right now. And the election committee has been over the past few weeks to finalize the rules for this coming year and how we can best in our practices. So, as you mentioned, you all get adopted on the committee. Not much has changed, nothing revolutionary, but some changes in practices to be more and more balanced. First of all, the eligibility for the election, as you guys saw already, has a resolution requiring committee application as part of the process, and it should be reflected in the rules. Additionally, we've added a requirement to attend an SAT meeting where your attendance is seen at the beginning of the semester and the first day of voting. That allows them due time. We can make part of the story of the SAT vote network for the attention meeting according to the candidate. Moving further along, in terms of other significant changes, the restriction for current SA members has been modified to reflect the events on outreach training. However, those do not feel that contingency outreach events, specifically like an IR on the IR, or if you want to go say boxing match between our presidents that don't get one, would be fair for those who not want to go to the additionally, we want to just keep on going through. Specifically, turn off your social media Facebook, the fact that Facebook has modified how they 49 members and previously people can make profiles for their campaigns or they can make groups for their campaigns. However, any profiles can be an application of Facebook policy, and additionally, you can now, of course, add people to groups so they can come back to certain issues involved. So that would be a legal means by creating Facebook for us. And additionally, we want to restrict the, as you guys all know, the Facebook, we can have events start and end times, which would be great because of the campaign period. Having a start and end time to the events reflecting the voting period, we encourage voter turnout, and voter turnout is something that maybe is going to prioritize this coming semester. In terms of other major changes, so we added an anti-hating provision to the campaign ethics section. We do not believe that campaigns should be part of a number of processes insofar as it would be forced. We believe that elections and campaigns are part of the voting that people volunteer to support campaigns, and this sort of forced campaign is what's currently on that reflected in the new rules. There's also a clarifier about running a joint campaign, so clarifying the active coordination of the new section 9, former section 8, referring to traditional ticketing slates, being more explicit with how we define what joint campaign is, and it should be individual in nature, and in line with spirit of ticketing, we want to encourage the spirit of no active collaboration in the campaign that would be involved in the campaign. I believe that today, and finally, with regard to challenges, clarifying the procedures by which you can have active challenge hearing and testimony in the challenge, which we've done in the fall, that has allowed us much greater information in terms of how we can judge the veracity of the challenge, the validity of the challenge, and how having that testimony how it can be requested. And additionally, the status of the standard of government challenges is clarified.
It was the Chicago election results were affected, and none of us here are silver. We can't predict what the result would have been if not for the violation. And that's reflected in the new standard of government, the new voting fairness, and compromise of fairness. That's been some of the rule changes that we're looking at. We'll be working in the spring to modify the outreach efforts of the assembly, not just by candidates themselves, but for the overall purpose of voting. And finally, additionally, changing the nature of forums to be more reflective of our outreach efforts. We welcome commentary, because if you're commenting, we welcome adopt the rules.
Thank you very much. Great reference, by the way, to Nate Silver. I had to make at least one campaign comment. One kind of quick note before we open up questions. I know that it's kind of an interesting situation for a lot of people here because these are going to be the rules that are going to govern the spring elections and beyond. My one recommendation is really try to take yourself out of that, of the candidate's, mindset, and think very objectively what rules are going to be best for the student body and for the fairness and efficacy of the, student assembly elections, which represents all students on campus. These elections are supposed to be open to everyone. They are supposed to be non-biased. And so I know it, I've gone through it too, where I've, had to debate the rules that would affect me. So just remember that, we all made oaths to serve the student body fairly, and just wanted to point that out before we go into discussion. First question is from Rep. Iwaoka.
But it was swapped out. I know people have done that. So I'm going to turn this over to Dan in a minute if he ran successfully around the rod if possible. If he did not run and he did as well, sorry, you can use that as well. You're not allowed to have any whiskey about alcohol, and again, I know that I started to mention this stuff on alcohol apologies, but you are allowed to run the rod if you plan on being in a refrigeration disturbance for your actor. You cannot run if you plan on being abroad for the next year. Running for
okay, and I'm going to be stricter about speaking time, by the way, because we do have a speakers list. Scalpel.
All right, this is going to be really quick. Under A,
will
it be? To be a candidate, a person, or you have total hitting
I have any questions?
Okay. That's all. That's okay.
Where?
Did you even not hear
first
it?
He's like, oh,
next on the speaker's list is Rep Smith, is VP Smith.
My other questions revolved around the outreaches there.
You have 10 seconds.
That I don't know what it was, so it's a long time.
Next is Rep Bonatti.
Thank you for coming first, regarding the comments about you and the first, I was just wondering why there was a change between the direction of action will propose the regulation for May to this particular type of everything. In order, this has been for the way, for example, to move the direction of action, to make the timing for us. Which might not like be as objective as it was a clear policy regarding the reporting violation. So I was wondering if the will for May. Regarding my second question, regarding the question, I was thinking like when I did the salary and I just saw like a past election, a lot of candidates, maybe
Also, just to remind you to kind of phrase them as questions instead of statements.
Sorry, this is my old language.
Yeah.
What? It's what?
English is
important. Yeah, you can. Yes. By the way, I'm extending the meeting by 10 minutes just so. Because there's still people on the speaker's list.
And finally, regarding the faculty and staff position, this is an RFA part of the rules and follows your institutional memory, you know, from any in the language. We discussed this as a committee and we did not feel that there were those who are students and need your student election. We don't think that this process is.
Thanks. Next is Bracek. Pritchett.
Why did you make the main thing that the community is involved? That is not our
So this is your model's practice here at Fairness, right? So not only have you have the same kind of resources that you have, photographers, etc. The website becomes everybody has the same length of statement, the same type of photo, etc. It shouldn't be judged on the basis of the resources, it should be judged on the basis of who you are relative to everybody else who's given the same type of access information. You're welcome to get nice and touch up with the same website stuff.
It's only new business right now. What? Fine. Yeah. Did you have another question? Okay. Next is PP Desai. Who are you yielding to? Oh. Rep Block.
Just, I mean, it would require a lot more.
Rep. Lovely.
Just something that I remember, and not many people did probably or will, but something that I still think is important. I remember coming home, and my initial classes to come on Lovely. I ran a very Lovely, and I had a little heart attack when I saw the amount of the complicated Lovely. And thankfully, you know, my last name was enough information in my notes is there. But is there any way, I think I used to ask when I signed up for the candidate, what I wanted to be, like what my ballot name wanted to be, but I really just like some kind of provisioning here to ensure that. So I'm going to be really planning anything for putting up in
the application. I look for your contingent on the fact that you can do that for the data on the system.
There's one last speaker on the speaker list. The last speaker is EVP Mueller.
Mike.
Oh, Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to miss the motion to adjourn, but I just wanted to get one last question on the record. It's a rhetorical question, and that is the Director of Elections, Weinberg. And the question is, what are your best Director of Elections ever? And with that, I motion to adjourn.
The time is now 6:40, and the time is now 6:40. This meeting is adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.